Well, it's good to be back. Good to be with you all. You know, I was thinking, I spent 2 weeks in Calcutta. We spent a lot of time with Missionaries of Charity, which is the group that Mother Teresa started, the branch of missionaries that she started in the Catholic Church. And so we had the privilege every day of going to the Mass with the sisters there, the nuns. And just this morning, I was thinking of this, and just as a little side note, but I guess it relates in a lot of ways too, is, you know, at a Mass, if you think about a Mass, there is a set ritual. There is a set number of things you're doing. You know, we really have a liturgy here as well. And I guess having been gone, maybe I came back with some fresh eyes, and as I watched our church kind of go through our liturgy, I thought about something this morning, too, that related to this. And so I thought about Bill and Mike, how they do the offering talk. And so we have this liturgy in the morning here on Sunday where we start with worship. And in many ways, the liturgy in the Catholic Church is a gift to those who come, because that's really what should be going on in your day each day. There really should be a modeling or a mirroring of the liturgy in your day. There really should be worship, songs to the Lord. There should be prayer. This is the ideal, right? There should be a reading of Scripture. And you know what's interesting about our liturgy? And again, this is fresh revelation in my mind, so excuse how raw it might be. But when Bill gets up here, or Mike, and they talk about money, you know, Jesus had a few things to say about money in the Scriptures. Quite a few things to say about money. And so, at part of our daily liturgy, I think really ought to be, Lord, how am I going to spend my money today? Because God cares about what you do with your money, to be honest with you. Not so much I don't believe that he needs your cash, but because he knows that you need to be wrestling with him about your money, because your money is closer to your heart than you even want to recognize, right? That's embarrassing. We don't want to talk about that. I'm not going to go on too long, because that's embarrassing ground right there. What you do with your money reveals a lot about the idolatry in your life, and by you, I mean me. So may God bless us with this, perhaps, that part of our daily liturgy, part of your daily liturgy, might involve praying about where your money's going. Praying about what you're doing with your money. Praying about how tightly you, and again, by you I mean me, are holding on to your money. How white-knuckled is that? Oh. And each day, dedicating some time just to pray, Lord, I want to surrender this money to you. I want to surrender my life to you. I want to worship you with everything. So let that be a part of your daily liturgy, modeling really what we're doing here in church each Sunday morning. All right, onto the sermon then. So I had the opportunity to travel to India, Calcutta. It was part of the big around the world semester my team, the university does. We had little Sheffield a few weeks ago. He's back in the corner. Everyone look, please. He's beautiful. Give us a wave, buddy. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay. So we stayed back. We stayed back this time, but I was, I don't want to say I was needed. That sounds pretty good, but I don't want to say I'm needed to go, but I was wanted to go, and I felt happy to go to do two sections, to teach two sections, to give, well, I wrote down a couple things here. My job around the world, on this around the world trip, was to teach some Indian literature. I talked about this a while back. Teach some Indian literature. I did a section of that there. I did a section on the Quran, taught the Quran as literature, what that is all about. I taught a section of travel writing there. I was also there to be an encouragement to the students, some fresh legs on the ground to be an encouragement. Also to be an encouragement to the professors that are teaching and have been going and grinding out. This is their fifth country. This was their fifth country. So I was part of my job there. And then the last one really was to join the team in evangelism, in spreading of the gospel. And we do that, spreading the gospel in a variety of ways as they travel around the world. And so it was exciting. I was looking forward to it. I had no idea it would be as enriching as a trip as it was. Oh. I'm not going to be able to get all of it out today, probably, because it was so enriching personally. I just can't even describe that fully, but hopefully we'll get into it a little bit today. I threw a few slides together as well to kind of help me go. There we go. Nice. Is there a way you can go full page to avoid that creepy side on the right that could be inappropriate, I imagine? Yeah, at some point. You know, they put weird stuff on the side there. That's a danger of Facebook. Be careful now as you go there. But so Calcutta is a colorful city. It is a messy, there it is, make, enter full screen, boom, Oh, man. Okay. Yes. Allow that. Okay, good. This is really a picture from the hostel, the youth hostel we stayed at. The Around the World semester is done. It's about $25 a day is how we do it as a university. And so we stay in youth hostels, obviously, with that price tag. But what it offers us, staying in youth hostels, is a better touch, I think, to the culture itself, a little more with the average person in each country, I think, is probably a good way to put that. But this is the view from our hostel. I thought it was awesome. If you note there, this is, again, not in my notes, but the scaffolding is bamboo. How awesome is this? How terrifying is that? But how cool is that? Bamboo. We saw bamboo scaffolding far higher than this building. And so, anyway, that was right next door. They're doing some painting. You see those guys painting there. Always construction going on in India. I've been to Mumbai and now Calcutta, so two places, and it really was similar in both places, but very colorful city, vibrant, very busy. Part of our daily schedule involves getting up at about 4:45, and walking from 5:30 to 6 to Mother Teresa's home. That was an awesome place to go. I'll go to the next slide, will you? And as we walked, we saw so much going on in the streets. This is actually how a lot of people got sick on our team, by eating at these little vendors here. But if you're used to it, if you're living there, this is awesome. This is a 25-cent meal right here. You can get like a full plate of food for about 25 cents from a guy like that. Your stomach just has to be prepared. You got to have some armor down here that I don't have, and I discovered that. Although I didn't even eat at this guy's deal. But this kind of thing is everywhere, and it actually adds something incredible to your time in Calcutta. I feel like a travel agent. It adds to the experience because there's new smells and really great smells at every corner. This also makes it very unlike Orange County, right? Where if you smell something, it's usually not a good thing, and you think, I wish I didn't smell that right now. I wish I would stay inside someone's house, keep that in, right? But here, I mean, there are smells, beautiful smells, wonderful, flavorful, spicy smells everywhere because of the amount of cooking that's going on all day. I mean, a guy like this will sit there for 15 hours. I see him at 5:30 in the morning, then I come home at noon. He's still there. We go out for lunch. The end of the evening, the guy's still there, usually packing up about dark. But an amazing part of the culture. What's the next slide? There's a great, interesting mix of people in India. You have people that wear a lot of traditional clothing. Notice the lady on the left, second in. A lot of traditional saris that she's wearing there. Very colorful. The people in India, I noticed this, there's a lot of bathing going on. Something else that happens in the street that doesn't happen in Orange County is bathing. And so they have, actually, so you notice the guy with no shirt on. So he probably just took a bath. So he'll have just a thing around his waist, and he'll be sitting at one of the public faucets and just have a bucket out and just be soaping up. I mean, every single day, you just see people soaping up on the streets. And what I noticed, which I loved, I thought it was so cool, was that these people were fabulously clean, always smelling good and clean and fresh like soap, but that they were out there just bathing together. This was like a community thing. Amazing. Talk about culture shock, right? Walking along, okay, missed a spot. All right. I'm just going to keep going. Part of our walk, that was one of the beautiful things about our trip there, is we stayed at a place called the Hotel Maria, which was a hostel, and we walked, like I said, about 30 minutes every day. So walking through the city, seeing amazing amounts of culture. Notice here also people hanging their laundry. So you're taking a bath. That is laundry that is drying there, just out in the community. And why not? There's a railing, perfect spot for my undies to go and dry out. Yeah, incredible. So that was really a really nice thing about our ritual each day. We walk again to the mother house. What's the next one? And see all kinds of cool stuff. I was actually right behind this group of goats. I ran up there to take a few pictures. I think this is actually Adam Lee's photo, though. What's the next one? There's Josh. You guys remember Josh? He comes to church often. But he's in India now, so he's not going to be here. Josh was running behind there. We stayed right around the corner from here, and these goats came through every single day. Interesting herding, but anyway, what's the next one? Traffic was crazy. Again, part of our walk involved kind of navigating through cars. At 5:30, it was nice because it was relatively quiet. You had the street vendors kind of setting things up, saying hello to us as we walked through. They're very friendly. People bathing at the 5:30 walk often also. But then on our way back each day at noon, we'd just be navigating through traffic. And this was actually pretty dangerous. I'll get into this a little bit, maybe not. But at a lot of the homes where Mother Teresa would care for these people that were injured, a lot of them were injured from cars, they were hit by cars. And I spent about 10 days with a man named Ajit, who was just a real tender man. He's about 68 years old, and he'd been hit by a car and left to die, actually. And but now he's in great shape. He's doing great. He can't walk real well right yet, but he is of good mind and a very joyful man. But part of the problem is that there's not a whole lot of regard for pedestrians. Let me rephrase that. There is absolutely zero regard for pedestrians. A whole different mindset. It's cars first, get out of the way kind of deal. And I know that's a lot of parts of the world that are like that. Egypt's very similar to that. Los Angeles is like that too. What's the next one? Ah, yes, okay. The foods, this is just phenomenal. Notice that pepper. That was probably the hottest thing I'd ever eat. This is my lunch one day at a really cool place we found called Punjabi, this restaurant. But the meals would come like this, and they just bring them around like a little dollop of that yellow stuff. It doesn't look good, I'll admit to you. Looking at it now, it looks really awful, actually. But this was a palate sensation. I mean, this was all, you were all over the place. There was sweet, salty, bitter. Very top thing with the tomato there is a really nice kind of spongy type of an egg dish thing. It was great. But this pepper here, actually, I pulled the reason they put that pepper on there is because you at the end of your meal, you pull the toothpick out of the pepper and you clean your teeth. Pretty cool, yeah. Okay. Whoa, though, the pepper, like nearly my face almost fell off. I felt like my face was going to literally fall off. That's all. And just the toothpick. Oh, my goodness. Horrible. I didn't go back to that ever again. I just put that to the side. What's the next one? Again, just more colorful displays of clothing. Actually, the drying clothing, I think, added to the landscape in a really neat way. Because look at those dresses and the skirts and the shirts. There's no real boring colors in India. I loved that. What's the next one? The plumbing, not so good. Not so good in the city. This was I have a whole video display of this one where I walked through this, is about just underneath the knee. We had one pretty major rainstorm, and I had to walk 50 yards, and it was that bad. Look where halfway up the wheel on the taxi there, see that? What's the next one? Okay, we'll stop right there. We can keep that up there for now if you want. Okay, so what was moving? We made these walks, right, through this vibrant city every morning. Got to the Mother Teresa house. And this was a mother house, it's called the Mother House, and this was kind of the main hub where they held Mass each morning. And so we'd sit in Mass from about 6 to 7. Well, there were many amazing things about Mass. The nuns had a real beautiful courage and a real beautiful tenderness about them that I just couldn't get enough of. I would just stare at them. I tried not to be inappropriate, but I didn't want to make them feel nervous or anything. But I just loved watching them interact. I loved watching them. A lot of times, if one of our students wasn't feeling well, they would come right over in the middle of things. They weren't like bound to the rituals. You know, it wasn't like they were hurrying off to do this prayer and this and that. No, and it was always people first. It was beautiful. Beautiful. And they cared for our team with such a loving heart. The Mass always included some visiting priest would give a homily. And sometimes difficult to understand. I think 3 out of the 10, I went to Mass 10 times in the 2 weeks. 3 were difficult because of a strong Indian accent, but they were always in English. But about 7 of them were just kind of mind-blowing, just brilliant homilies where they just expound on a couple passages of Scripture, simple, but really amazing, the reverence and the insight that these priests would give us in the morning. It was just a wonderful way to start each morning. A wonderful way to start each morning is with songs and prayers and then these beautiful homilies. What is the next slide? I think we're a little behind. Keep going forward a little, will you? Keep going. We'll come back to this stuff. That's actually right near the mother house. Keep going. That's the mother house there. Keep going, please. There we go. Right there. Perfect. They have these prayers. Let's say this one together. Can you all read this fine? Let's say it together. Dear Jesus, help us to spread your fragrance everywhere we go. Flood our souls with your spirit and life. Penetrate and possess our whole being so utterly that our lives may only be a radiance of yours. Shine through us and be so in us that every soul we come into contact with may feel your presence in our soul. Let them look up and see no longer us, but only Jesus. stay with us, and then we shall begin to shine as you shine, so to shine as to be a light to others. The light, O Jesus, will be all from you. None of it will be ours, it will be you, shining on others through us. Let us thus praise you in the way you love best, by shining on those around us. Let us preach you without preaching, not by words, by our example, by the catching force, the sympathetic influence of what we do, the fullness, evident fullness of the love our heart bears to you. Amen. So we pray this each morning, and there were actually four prayers on this sheet that you'd pick up as you walked into the mother house. As we sat in the room, it was upstairs, in a room about this big with an altar, and most of the nuns were on that side of the room there, and then the visitors, there was a door to enter here, and visitors would just kind of sit on the floor or on a series of benches on this side of the room, and we would watch, but then we would, the more I did it, the more I kind of got it down, right? And you could pick up a little sheet at the door, at the entrance of the room, and you could pray these along with the nuns at the end of the service. And a lot of people would leave, but I stuck around one day again. I liked watching. These ladies were amazing. So I just was watching, and then they broke into these prayers. And it was like such a blessing to be able to go through this. I mean, the words in that prayer, we went through this at my home group on Tuesday, and or last Tuesday, and I just love this prayer. I love what it says. It says so much about really Mother Teresa's vision of who she was and who she really believed that she was created to, how she was created to be and who she was created to be, what it meant to be a Christian, to shine on others, and really to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. That it was through being filled, it was by being filled with God's Holy Spirit that we can actually be loving and ministers of the gospel to others. Without that, it was nothing. She did make a correction often, Mother Teresa did, in a few of her books. She said, you know, we're not doing social work. This is not social work. This is religious work. This is Christian work. And without Christ, none of this is worth doing. That's Mother Teresa's statement. So the prayers, the mass, amazing. Much of Mother Teresa's vision was kind of caught up by just being around this mother home. One of the things that she said quite a bit and what the nuns often would reiterate was that we can get caught up trying to invent something grand, right? I mentioned this morning to some guys at the table. I said, you know, she said we can get caught up trying to create big ways to serve people. And in so doing, get caught up creating ways and not actually do anything. This is a beautiful corrective for me, something that I'm still wrestling with. But her point was, who's right in front of you? Who's right there? Because if you're back at the drawing board every afternoon, that person here needs your love, and you're just drawing up plan after plan after plan. Do you ever get down to actually doing it? And so her push was, get out there and just love the person right in front of you in the most simple way. Nothing against starting things. Obviously, Mother Teresa has started something massive. There's now over 1,600 of these missionaries of charity homes worldwide. They're doing an amazing work. But her warning was, be careful, you're not just always planning. How much of your day is actually just loving the person in front of you? I love that vision. And that really kind of helped me as I began to walk through the Missionaries of Charity service as we took part in what they were doing. And one of the verses that has really kind of stuck with me is, maybe we can bring it up, it would be nice, Matthew 25, 35 to 40. This was really one of the key verses for the Missionaries of Charity. Matthew 25, 35 to 40. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. The second one is Romans 2, 1 through 5. What are you doing for the least of these? One of the things Mother Teresa in one of her books she writes about, she's questioned. She's like, don't you think, she was questioned in this way, because at the homes, there was a problem at one of the homes where people were coming to get food, and people could come onto these compounds. I think there's six just in Calcutta, right where we were, five or six. People would come onto the compound and get a basket of food, and they would leave, and rumors began to spread that there were a few women who were coming to get food, and then they were selling it. Outrage. And so it came to Mother Teresa's attention, and she says, keep giving the food. That is between them and God. I've been called to give food away. I've been called to help the poor. Let's let God worry about that, and he'll work that out for us. And then, so the next step was, don't you feel like you're spoiling the poor? Don't you feel like you're giving them too much? And man, I'll tell you what, we walked through these slums, pretty abject poverty. And when we got to these homes, these compounds, beautiful, not elaborate or grossly, you know, nice or anything, but just very clean and brought so much dignity to the people. And I'm going to use that word a lot this morning, dignity. Brought so much dignity to these folks who had been abandoned. So we walked onto the compound, and it was just gorgeous in a very clean, beautiful way. And the people would say, don't you think you're spoiling these poor people? Mother Teresa said, you know, there's plenty of churches, there's plenty of groups that are spoiling the rich. So maybe I'll just be the one that's spoiling the poor. I love that statement. So this idea, what are you doing for the least of these? Who are you loving? That's one of the key aims. And the second one is this. One of the things that she really makes a key point of emphasizing is Romans 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, you have no excuse, everyone who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. We know the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Second thing Mother Teresa would often say is, stop judging and start serving. Stop over-planning, start loving, right? That's the first point. And then stop judging and just start loving. Get over the judgment part, right? That's what they say over and over. Stop the judging. You'll waste time judging. Man, how much time of my life, how many hours of my life, weeks, embarrassingly, perhaps months of my life, I spent judging and critiquing. Oh, horrible. What a wasted time. Go love somebody. If this person's annoying, you can't stand it, go love somebody else then, man. And pray that God gives you patience for this guy. There's plenty of people out there who need to be loved. This is the message I felt like was being pointed at me with every ounce of energy at this place. Walk around with these nuns. Find somebody to love. And as you love, you will learn to love. And you, as you love, as you practice this, you will learn to love more and more unlovable people. That's the nature of love. When you get good at it, you can extend it. Isn't that comforting in some ways to know that as we practice loving others, we get good at it, and the Holy Spirit is with us as we do it. I mean, it's a command, right? He commands us to do something, he's going to be with us. So those two verses are key. Serve the poor. And then serve more, judge less. So after each day we'd go to the Mass, we'd go to this volunteer room, really cool place. The volunteer room was where we all kind of gathered and we'd get some information. We'd be sent off to different homes. Again, nurses kind of pouring on love. There's always kind of a reminder, hey, everyone coming in. There's people from all over the world, Switzerland, France, Germany. I walked with all kind of folks. It was really neat. Hey guys, watch out, down on Sutter Street, there's been some pickpockets. These nuns would come out and just give these warnings. Still cool. And then they'd pray for us, we'd sing a song together, and they'd send us out. And each day, I walked to this place called Premdon. And Premdon was a place that was really dedicated to people with tuberculosis, severe tuberculosis, mental disease, and then many other people who had been left abandoned through serious accidents. Car accidents, like I said before, bike accidents, motorcycle accidents. Also some people who had recovered from alcoholism. And so one of the wonderful things was the way that my heart was kind of just twisted around. So I showed up at Premdon, all ready to go. Whew, captain service. I was ready to show them, this is how you do it. Just watch this guy. All right, I've never been here before. Watch this guy. That's in my mind. Sorry, to I have to admit that, just to be honest. So I got there, and they had us hanging laundry. And I was like, this is not really my specialty, but that's fine. It's fine. Who's preaching? Who's teaching? Who's got the Shakespeare? I mean, I could do I'll just hang the laundry. That's fine. So we hang the laundry. Then we go downstairs, and there were these, I don't know, seemed like miles and hundreds of miles of sidewalks through this compound. It's beautiful, like I said. But the job was you had to take buckets, like those Home Depot 5-gallon buckets, and you dump it on the sidewalk, and then they had these, I like to call it the developing nation broom. It's like, it's weeds and branches, normally like this long, that were bound together, like 100 of them or so, right? And you'd sweep. Well, usually, and I think this was an act of God, by the time, to teach me lessons, by the time I got down to where the brooms were, it was the brooms that were like pretty old that I got. So it was about this long. So what does that mean? That means I'm doubling over that much farther, right? Because this is the standard. So I'd be looking, oh, yeah, the long ones. Okay, good. Yeah, I'll take that. And so I'm here. I'm literally just sweeping the sidewalks, you know. I got my hand here. I'm trying the other guy's technique is like this. All the while thinking, I have a PhD, man. What am I doing here? It's gross. You know, it's gross ego. I got it all. I got it all that junk. And the Lord's just saying, yes, yes, PhD, Dr. Norton, sweep. Sweep, my friend. Keep sweeping. So after the sweeping, I'm just drenched. I mean, every ounce, every bit of my clothing is just wet. Because it's hot. Did I mention it's hot? 95 degrees, 90% humidity. I mean, it's wet, man. And so my hair's all wet. And after that, you kind of walk out and you hang out with some of the guys. And they're all sitting out in the garden because they'll be in their beds most of the afternoon, but in the morning, like to be out in the garden. They feed them, serve them chai, tea, and crackers, and I was part of that a little bit. But then it was just time just to go and sit with these men. And so I went out the first morning. I went and sat down next to this guy, and I said, good morning. And he said, good morning. Excellent English. I was like, okay, here we go. Time for me to actually have a conversation and like use some intelligence here, actually be used properly, like how I'm shaped. Oh, man. First question. Why are you so sweaty? And I was like, did you not see me breaking my back on the sidewalks, buddy? It's like an hour of sweeping with a 2-inch broom. I didn't say that. I said, I've been sweeping. Ah, interesting. And so we started talking. And this guy's questions were like amazing right off the bat. And again, I was feeling like, okay, yes, this is going to be great. And we're talking, and he's like, yes, actually, years ago, before I was injured, I traveled to Rome, and I visited with the Pope there. I was like, oh, yes, peer-to-peer. Now we're rolling. This guy's been with the Pope. I have a PhD in Shakespeare. This is going to be great. But then reality, right? All of a sudden, he's like, do you know? And this is like about 20 minutes into it. I'm thinking, this is going to be great. I'm talking, really going to minister to this guy. It's going to be awesome brotherhood. All of a sudden, he says, yes, do you know the Pope is Mick Jagger? And I was like, where's that broom? Where's that broom? There's got to be some more. I cannot believe. So let's talk about humbling and a reality check. I was like, oh, okay. And I just remembered, you know, there was some mental illness that's being handled here. So I sat with him. We talked about Mick Jagger and the Pope and all the similarities and how this is in disguise and so forth. Love who is in front of you. That's the message, right? Love who is in front of you. Why are you expecting a certain level of status and service because of who you think you are? Again, by you, I mean me, right? So I have this expectation, and yet the Lord is saying, will you just calm down and just sit there and love who's in front of you? And so all of a sudden, you know, through this process of breaking the frustration and kind of just reality check, right? You're made to love. You're made to love brothers and sisters in Christ. You're made to love people in simple ways. And so the week went on, and that was a great check, kind of the beginning of the week. And so I sat with Ajit, and he told me all about the history of India. This guy was brilliant. That was a nice moment. I got to talk to him a little bit. He told me riddles, actually, which were great. It was pretty touching, actually, the second day I met Ajit. And Ajit, we sat there, and he told me some riddles, and I couldn't solve any of them. He thought it was very funny, and he's cracking up. And then at the end, like about 30 minutes in, he was like, I will tell you one more, but I will not tell you the answer until tomorrow. And I was like, oh, I like that. That's cool. You know what that is? I mean, that he wanted me to come back, right? And I was like, oh, that was like, it was touching. He was a 68-year-old man, sits by himself most of the afternoon, no one really to talk to, been through hell, really. Been abandoned by his family, lost his wife, she died years before, no family left, been left on the street to die after being hit by a car. I'll tell you the answer tomorrow. I was like, oh, okay, that sounds good, Ajit. And so each day I met with him and told riddles and jokes and had a great time. Part of the day was also spent working with a few guys who were a little more severely handicapped. One of the guys that I worked with each day had, he was a paraplegic. And I met him actually the first day. He kind of, I thought he was being rude. I didn't really understand some of the Indian nonverbals. That's really not rude. I learned. I mean, I thought it was rude at first because I'd come by and I'd say, hey, would you like some water or anything? Just kind of brush off. That means no. Okay, no problem. I'll be back. So, well, one day I came by and I was vigilant. I was coming after this guy. I said, you need anything? Water or anything? He says, shower. I was like, oh, where's the nuns? That's above my pay scale. I said, he didn't speak much English, but he, shower. And I was like, okay, let's see where this goes. He puts his arms up like this. And so I get down there and I lift him up. There's a wheelchair. I had to go with the wheelchair first. But anyway, I bring him over to put him on the wheelchair. And he's just pointing. So I hadn't been to the showers yet. Take him over to the shower. Go through the curtain there, and there's it's a chair here with a hole in it. He had to go to the bathroom first. There's a bucket underneath it for, it's like a toilet, right, for someone who couldn't go to the toilet. So he points to that, and I was like, okay. So first he takes all his stuff off in the chair, and I'm kind of helping him take his stuff, so he's completely naked. So I pick him up, put him on the thing. 5 minutes, he says. 5 minutes. Okay. So I go out and I'm panning out water and come back, checking my watch. 5 minutes later, come back. He points to the buckets where they have this huge bucket of water and his little handhold buckets. And so he goes, buck water. So I hand him water, dumps it on his head, hands it back to me. So about 10 times back and forth. Then he leans forward. Where's Washington? Where's Ajit? Where's the nuns? This is not what I asked for. It's just me and this guy. I'm not going to leave, obviously. And so I rallied, you know, so I came around like this, and he's squishing us, making everything clean. Did it one more time. Done. Helped him get the towel, kind of dabbed him off. We did this about 5 days in a row, me and my buddy. And I'll tell you what. After the first day of kind of getting over the initial shock of it, I loved it. I got to be honest, I loved it. It was so wonderful. And each day now, after that, I was now brother. It wasn't this anymore. It was brother, brother, shower. Let's do it. The wheel in there. Bucket, 5 minutes. I'll be right back. You know, take your time. Something to read? No, I didn't say that. Who's in front of you? Who's in front of you? Do you have the courage to step into them, into their lives, and to step into that, whatever that might be, and to love and to care and to give of yourself? I'm way over time. Wow, I don't think I've gone on this over in a long time. I think that's enough. Let's chew on that this week as a body. I want to know, as you kind of chew that through this week, please come to me with stories. I'd like to hear what that entails for you. Who's in front of you? Go and love them. Simple. Don't think about your degrees or whatever you think that you deserve to serve them in certain ways. Get over that, please. Learn from this guy. That's not going to get you anywhere. Instead, stepping into this kind of, well, sometimes it's filth. Sometimes it's depravity. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes it smells bad. But, oh, if I can just testify that the joy that I found by stepping out of all that I thought I was supposed to be doing into something that God said, this is what I have for you today. Are you willing to do this? Because this is where I'm going to be. Step into that. There's blessing. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your willingness as incarnate Christ to step into our messy universe, to humble yourself, to come into our world and to bless us. We thank you for the humility of your Holy Spirit to dwell among us now. That is true degradation of your royalty, of your highness. We recognize that. We thank you. We praise you for that. We praise you for your ultimate, majestic humility. By your grace, will you give us the courage to step into the worlds of those around us? Whoever's right in front of us, Lord, would you give us the courage to step into that? I thank you for the example we have of our pastor, Kevin, who we're honoring today in many ways because of his willingness, his courage, his and Dudley's courage to step into the messy lives of those here, my life. Thank you for his courage, for Dudley's courage. May we be a body, a family that has courage to step into the messy lives of others and to love them there. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.